Okay, so before I get started, well, kind of getting started, I want to ask a question. And in Duluth, we let people answer. I don't know if we can do that here. But if you could be any kind of animal, what would it be? And you can't cheat because it's up there. So if you think about it, get an answer in your head. Okay. Now, I think that if we're being honest, very few of us would say a sheep. Maybe there's some weird people here, I don't know. But most people's favorite animal, most people's animal that they would want to be is not a sheep. And that's because there's really, you know, nothing that alluring, nothing that appealing about a sheep. Yeah, they might look cute and cuddly in the picture. You know, they might look good on TV. But basically, sheep are stupid, they're kind of stubborn, they're dirty, they're wayward, they wander off a lot. They follow the crowd, like they just follow whatever, without much thought. I found something about how sheep are so easily frightened and confused. There's actually a story, you might have heard this, in the Washington Post in 2005. There are these shepherds over in Turkey. And they're there doing whatever shepherds do, and the next thing you know, they see a sheep just walk off the cliff. And they're like, well, what do we do? And the next thing you know, there's hundreds following them. So 400 of these sheep walk off the cliff, fall, and die. And then 1,100 more follow them, but survive because, you know, their fall was softened by all the dead sheep. I'm really not making this up. You can look online. There's pictures. It's really true. It's actually pretty kind of disturbing. It's pretty gross. But that just to say that sheep really aren't that smart. They're confused easily. They do stupid stuff. They're also pretty much defenseless, and they're always depending on others for guidance, depending on others for direction. And yet, if you look in the Bible, you'll continually find that we're, you know, referred to as sheep. Some examples, Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there. We'll get there eventually. Ezekiel 34:31 says, "You are my flock, the sheep of my pasture." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd." Psalm 78:52 says, "But he led forth his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness." And then there's countless other verses. I mean, those were just the first three that I found. And I don't know about you guys, but once you really know the truth about sheep, I think it makes you realize that it's not something that you really want to be. I mean, you just wouldn't really want to be a sheep. But unfortunately, I think that all those things that I just said about sheep are true of us. Unfortunately, I think the description of us as sheep in the Bible is rather accurate. I said that sheep are stupid and stubborn. Now, I'm not stupid or stubborn, but I think that some Christians are. Actually, while I was studying for this, I found that sheep will go into a field and they'll eat all the grass. They'll eat all the grass in the field, and they're so stubborn and they so are resistant to change, they'll just starve to death because they won't go and find more food. You know, rather than leaving and giving up the comfort that they have. And how true is that of us? You know, we don't want change. We're unwilling to change. We'd rather stay in our own comfortable surroundings, even if it'll lead to our eventual death, our eventual destruction, our eventual pain. You know, we have the attitude, well, we've done it for years and years and years, and it's going to stay that way. And really, having that stubborn attitude can be severely detrimental. It can have serious bad effects on our spiritual health. So, another thing, sheep are defenseless. They really, all sheep can do is run away. That's their one defense mechanism. Actually, if you were in the Philippines with me, you know, they do one other thing. They can call for backup. And they always call for Ben. Always. I don't know. That's not too spiritually relevant, but I think my Philippines Team 1 people appreciate it. But really, sheep are defenseless. All they can do is run away. And again, that's just like us. We face a problem, and what do? We're not going to deal with it. We don't eliminate it. Instead, we run away. We just prolong the pain instead of eliminating the problem. And then I said, sheep blindlessly follow their peers. I think this one describes us perfectly. I mean, we see what other people do, and that's what we do. We follow culture to the T. Without any thought, without any thought of what it might mean. You know, you think about those sheep in Turkey. They didn't think, they just followed, and then look what happened to him. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." So we all of us, have gone astray. We like to do exactly what those sheep in Turkey do. We blindly stumble towards what we think is good, and it ultimately just leads to our own destruction, to our own pain. I'd have to say that when we're called sheep in the Bible, you know, over and over and over, I don't think that it's ever a compliment. I don't think it's saying that we're cute, you know, like the sheep that you see on TV. I think it's basically because we are like sheep in other ways. We're defenseless, we're dumb, we're directionless, we have to depend on others. And that's basically who we are, all of us. But the good news is that we're not going to stop there. You know, despite the fact that we're like sheep, despite the fact that we have all those negative attributes of sheep, we can have a good shepherd, which is what we're going to talk about today in John chapter 10. I think you guys were in John on Sunday, so you're back in John on Wednesday with me too. But you're going to be in John chapter 10, and basically what we're going to look at is Jesus as our good shepherd, and what that means for us, his sheep. We're going to look at four specific things that Jesus does for us as our good shepherd, and what implications that should have on our life. Because if we really understand who Jesus is as our good shepherd, it will affect our life. It has to. I'll read the whole section that we're going to be in, and then we'll talk about it more. But John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So, now we're going to talk about it. If you look in verses 1 through 5, Jesus is talking about himself as the good shepherd, and also the sheep, us, hopefully us. We'll get to that later. And then in verse 6, you see that he basically explains that people are stupid, and he has to explain it over. You can see he says, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you," which is exactly how he started the first one. Now, I'm not saying that we're any smarter than the people that Christ was talking about here, but we are going to kind of deal with it as a whole, both the explanation and the first one, just because it'll be easier. Okay. So verse 1, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, there's a couple ideas in this verse. One is that Jesus is the true Messiah. It says he came the way that he was supposed to, and there was a lot of people professing to be the spiritual rulers, the spiritual guides to the people of Israel, but they were just self-appointed. They didn't come the way that the Old Testament said that you needed to. They didn't fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies. Only Jesus did that. Then in this, there's also the idea of false teachers. This chapter is closely linked to the chapter before where Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees, who claim to be the rightful rulers, the rightful teachers and shepherds of the people of Israel. Now, I think those are worth mentioning. We could do an entire idea just on that, but that's not really where we're going with this. Partly it just doesn't fit in with what I want to talk about. And also, I think that we're lucky to have around us guys and pastors who are careful about keeping the false teachers out, and thank God for that. Think that they're not afraid to do whatever it takes to keep those false teachers out. But what I do want to talk about is the explanation of this. In verse 7, it says, "I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So our first point, Jesus as our good shepherd is our door. Now that might not make a lot of sense. Jesus is our door. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is the door. He's the way. He's the only way. You know, a lot of us have heard the verse, John 14:6. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to true salvation. He's the only way to heaven. That's it. There's no other door. Like, picture a room, you know, and there's only one door. Well, that's the only way that you can go in. You can't go in any other way. And if we try to get in any other way, we're just going to be robbed. It says the other ways are the ways of the thieves and the robbers. Now, so Jesus is our door. He is the true way to salvation. He's the only way to salvation. He's the only way to the Father. And that's what he is as our good shepherd. But what does that mean for us? Well, I think if you have a door, what's your response to a door? You go through it, right? So that's what our response is. Our response is to go through the door. We shouldn't try to get to the Father any other way. We shouldn't try to get to heaven any other way. It's not, you know, we can't go because we go to church all the time. Our own morals, our own hard work isn't going to do it. Our baptism isn't going to do it. Being born into the Christian family isn't going to do it. The only way is through Jesus. And if we try and do any of those other things, it's not going to work. You know, if you picture a sheep trying to get into the sheepfold by climbing over the wall, they're not going to make it. You know, like I said, it's the only way in. And that makes sense when we think about sheep, or if you think about a room. If you think about a room, you know you have to go through the door to get in. But sometimes we overcomplicate it when it comes to Jesus. You know, it says he is the only way, and yet we try and do all these other things to get in. So, number one, Jesus is our good shepherd. He's the only way in, and our job is to walk through that door. And I guess, real quick, you could explain more, what does that mean? I mean, to me, how can you walk through the door? It's simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. We need to repent, put our faith in Christ. We need to come to a point where we realize that we even need the door, that we need Jesus. And, it, you know, like I said, it's not easy, but it is simple. We need to come, realize that we're sinful, realize that we need the door, realize that we need Christ, and realize that he is the only way. So if you go on to verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now, in these verses, there's a lot of ideas. But first, our second point, Jesus is our good shepherd who speaks to us, who speaks to his sheep. Now, we easily brush past this. We think, oh, that's not really that big of a deal. Jesus speaks to us. Why does that matter? But if we remember who the good shepherd is, if we remember who Jesus is, I don't think we'll take this so lightly. If we remember what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So, we like to think that hearing the voice of God isn't a big deal. You know, hearing the voice of Jesus. But if you realize who Jesus is, the creator of everything, the sustainer of life, I don't think we'll take it that lightly. This should amaze us. The creator of the universe, who created you, will speak to you. We shouldn't take that lightly. I was thinking during the second song, talking about Jesus on the cross, when you realize what Jesus did for us, the sacrifice that he made, we shouldn't take it lightly. We should be thrilled that we can hear from him. You know, how many people have had their life saved by someone who died? I'm sure there's a lot of people. And no one else can go and talk to those. I mean, we can go talk to the person who saved our life. That's cool. It excites me anyways. Maybe not you guys. But, so, the point is, the Good Shepherd speaks to us, and obviously our response to that is we should hear and know his voice. Now, I should mention that all of these little topics on the Good Shepherd could be an entire series on their own. I mean, now I'm getting into hearing the voice of God. That could be a whole series. It actually is a whole series by lots of pastors. There's this guy from Menominee. I think his name's Tim Dodson. He has a sermon series called Hearing the Voice of God in a Noisy World, I think. And it's really good. You should listen to it because I'm going to talk a little bit about it, but I will not get anywhere near as in-depth. But like I said, you should listen to that one. He's a good teacher. So, the Good Shepherd speaks, and his sheep hear his voice. All throughout the Bible, you see the phrase, and then God said. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. Jeremiah 33:3 says, I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. I've got like 20 of these verses. We won't do all of them. We'll do two more. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And then lastly, Psalm 85:8 says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. So it's clear the Good Shepherd is talking to us. You know, I don't think any of us would argue with that. That's not the question. But the question is our response to that. Are we listening? Are we truly hearing what he's saying, and are we obeying it? Are we willing to listen? I have time. We'll get into my 3 points about this. Okay, now, quickly, we'll do this. How can we hear the voice of God? I've got my 3 ideas. One, we need to cultivate an open mind, willing and eager to listen. A lot of people fail to hear the voice of God because they don't really want to hear what God has to say. We think we already have it all figured out. And if we have that opinion that we have it all figured out, that we don't need to hear from him, why would we listen? We need to realize that we don't have it figured out on our own. We need the open mind to hear from him. In Jeremiah 6:10, it says, they scorn the word of the Lord. They don't want to listen at all. And I think that's so like us. We scorn the word of the Lord because we don't want to listen. We don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. We don't want to be confronted. We don't want to be offended by anything. We just don't want to listen. And to hear the voice of God, we need to change that. We need to be willing and excited to hear from our Good Shepherd. And like I said, when you remember who he is, it shouldn't be hard to be willing and excited to hear from him. The second thing, we must take time to listen. That's hard. I mean, I know today people are busy, we're not patient, but to hear God's voice, we need to take some time and listen. We need to be patient. God doesn't usually send text messages or emails. It would be nice, but he doesn't. The third thing, the last point on this, we need to keep a healthy distance from sin and distractions. James 1:21 says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart. I think that's a big one for us. We fill our life with so much stuff, so much distractions, that we fail to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd when he calls to us. I mean, I'm sure everyone here has a list of all the stuff they have to do, whether it's work, school, family. It's a lot, I know that. But the fact is that all those things can can keep us from hearing God's voice. Can keep us from hearing what he would say to us. If you go back to our passage, verse 5 says, they will by no means follow a stranger, for they do not know his voice. So if you think about that, this implies that we need to recognize the voice of God over the voice of the other strangers, over all these other things that are calling to us. There's going to be a lot of things calling to us, a lot of things that are trying to get our attention, and we need to realize that that is the voice of a stranger and realize what is God's voice. We need to be in the Bible so we can know what that is. We need to be around other Christians so we can know what that is. Okay, so we need to hear the voice of our good shepherd and listen and obey. We're not going to get into obedience because that would be another series. Starting in back in our passage in verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. So our third point, the third thing that Christ does as our good shepherd is provide us with care and protection. He cares and protects for us so much that, as it says here, he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life to us to protect us from eternal suffering. Now, I think a lot of us here would say we believe that Jesus loves us so much and he protected us from that. But then we don't trust him with all this other stuff. We don't trust him with all the other stuff that's going on in our life. When it comes to the day-to-day troubles that we have, we think, well, God's not actually going to protect me from this. God's not actually going to have my back. He's not going to be there for me. But the Bible does not show that. The Bible shows that God knows everything that is happening, that nothing happens apart from his will. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalm 121:3 says, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Then lastly, Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. I should mention that I cannot hear that voice now, or hear that verse now, without hearing Abby's voice in my head, singing it over and over as she's trying to convince herself to go and face the geckos in the Philippines. So, which is funny. I mean, it really is. But how many of us have these like little unrealistic fears? I mean, if you guys are wondering, geckos, not that dangerous. They won't do that much to you. They really won't. They might land on you and then they're going to run away. I think everyone still has all their fingers. But, I mean, we have these unrealistic fears. We have these ideas that these things are going to hurt us. And the fact is that God has it under control. And that God's going to take care of us. He has our backs. And here it says that he knows us and cares for us. If we realize that, if we realize that God really knows us, that he really cares for us, we'll trust him for the protection that he gives. Now, it's definitely worth mentioning here that that doesn't mean that everything's going to be good. That doesn't mean that God will protect you from ever having pain. I think Abby could have got her finger bit by a gecko and God could have still been protecting her. So we're going to talk more about that in our second point, our last point. But we need to realize that Jesus is our good shepherd who offers us really all the protection that we need. And then again, we need to think about our response to this. We need to realize Jesus is our good shepherd who protects us. So we need to trust in that protection. We need to no longer be relying on ourselves, our own strength, our own financial, maybe standing, our own security. Instead, our security can be found in Christ. And when we realize that, it frees us from all the worry that we have. It frees us from everything that's holding us back from trusting God and doing really cool and exciting things for him. You know, so many people you talk to claim that they want to serve God. They want to do big stuff. But they're too afraid. They're afraid of what that might mean to them. They think that it might end in their pain, maybe their death, even sickness. And I'm not saying that that won't happen. It could. But if we truly trust that Jesus is our fortress, that he is our strength, we can no longer let those fears hold us back from doing the things that he calls us. We can't let those be an excuse to not step out into uncomfortable and possibly dangerous situations. Because we know that Jesus will protect us in all of those. No matter what it looks like to us, he is going to have our back. He will protect us. Nothing is going to happen to us that he doesn't allow. You know, all of a sudden you'll be freed up to talk to that coworker who you're always too afraid to. All of a sudden you're freed to talk to a friend and confront them in something. All of a sudden you're freed to get on a plane to go on the other side of the planet because you don't have to fear anymore. Now, we kind of mentioned that it doesn't always look like we thought. Sometimes we're still going to get hurt. Sometimes there's still going to be pain. If you ever seen those really cliche pictures of a shepherd with a sheep over their shoulders carrying it, you know, and you know why that is? Why is a shepherd carrying that sheep? Because that shepherd had just taken the sheep over to a rock, taken its staff, and hit him in the leg and broken his leg. So then the sheep needed to be carried. Okay? Now, that might not look like the care and protection that we want. You know, I mean, no one really wants to get their legs broke, I don't think. But when we understand why the shepherd does it, we realize that it really is care and protection. If we think of the sheep that I talked about over in Turkey, I think that the caring and protective thing to do to those sheep would have been to broken their legs. They'd still be alive. It's far more loving and far more care-providing to have broken the legs than to allow them to have jumped to their deaths. And I think we'll receive that too. Sometimes we'll be so deep in sin that is hurting us, that is destroying us, that's ultimately leading to our pain and probably, possibly, death. Then God grabs his staff and kind of hits us with it, right? And that he does that because he's caring for us. He's protecting us. He's keeping us from going on the path that would ultimately lead to our death, to our destruction, and to our pain. When we remember that, then even the protection that doesn't look so nice will seem welcomed. So we need to trust in Jesus for our protection. And when we realize that, it will have huge implications in our life. We can start doing things that we never thought we would do before. So that's our third point. And then our last one, our fourth point. Jesus is our shepherd that leads us and guides us. If you look back in verse 3, it says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, and when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them and his sheep follow them. So right there we have both what the good shepherd does for us. He leads us, and what our response should be. We should follow. He leads us. Our response then is to follow. That one seems pretty obvious, right? Now, where is he going to lead us? Remember that we talked about at the beginning, sheep, basically on their own, they're going to get lost. They're not going to have any direction. They're not going to have any real goal in life. I can say that was me. That was me wandering around with no direction, no real goal. You know, even when I thought I had a goal in my life, even when I thought I had a direction where I should be heading, it was just kind of a quickly fleeting thought that came and went. But then once I realized that Jesus is my good shepherd and he'll provide leading for me, that he will lead me, and if I follow him, things can change. All that was changed. He led me into new goals in life. He led me to a good church. He led me out of some really serious struggles with sin, some tough stuff. He led me into service of him. He led me into places that I never, ever, 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 ever would have thought that I would go. One of them being right here. I don't really like talking to people. People scare me. They really do. I was going to ask if everyone besides the first two rows would leave because I'd be more like Duluth. There'd be like 12 of you. But, I mean, really, he's led me to places that I would never go on my own. He's led me to some really cool stuff. He led me here. He led me to the other side of the planet. And if you knew the people that I know and the family that I have, that is an incredible thing. I mean, we don't leave Superior. And if we do leave Superior, we don't leave Wisconsin. And if you leave Wisconsin, you sure don't leave Wisconsin or Minnesota. Maybe you'll make it up to the UP of Michigan once in a while, but that is about it. So that was crazy for me. I mean, he led me to some cool stuff that, like I said, I would never, ever have gone without him. I wouldn't have been led there. I thought I had it figured out on my own. I thought I could lead myself to true success, and it didn't work out. And on that, I think that if your destinations, your goals, where you're being led in life hasn't changed since before you met Christ, I'd probably say that you're not really being led by the shepherd, but that you're really leading yourself. And remember, when that happens, when you won't let him lead you and you lead yourself, what does it end in? It ends in us walking over a cliff. Maybe it won't end in you walking over a cliff, but it'll end badly. And the sad thing is, the whole time we don't realize it. We'll be walking, we'll be leading ourselves, thinking we're headed to happiness, thinking we're headed to satisfaction, to pleasure, and it doesn't end that way. It doesn't. If you look at verse 10, this is perhaps the most encouraging verse to me in the entire Bible. I don't know if it's okay to have a favorite Bible verse, but this might be one of them. It tells us exactly where Christ will lead us. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So where is he going to lead us? He will lead us to an abundant life. He will, if we let him. No, it's not going to be the abundant life that the world thinks. It's probably not going to end in the biggest house, the nicest car. It won't be a life free of pain and heartache. Actually, I think I can guarantee that, in fact, it will be. He'll lead you where it's uncomfortable. He'll lead you where it might hurt. If you think I'm comfortable up here, you're wrong. He's going to lead you where you don't want to go sometimes. He'll lead you where you wouldn't go on your own desire, because if he didn't do that, you wouldn't need him to lead you. So why don't we let him lead us to this abundant life? I mean, why don't we? Because we're so easily led by all the other things around us. We think that we're going to find an abundant life in the money, in the worldly success, in the recognition that promises us pleasure, adventure, and opportunities that we don't think are going to come from Christ. You know, that can be financial, like I said, it can be relationships. We follow these things so easily. We'll be led by these things. We'll let these lead us wherever. We don't care where these things will go, as long as they promise us a good life. We're easily led astray. We seek that abundant life in things that cannot give it. The only way that we can get it is through Christ. And for some reason, we try and get it in other places. Now, I think that a lot of us here know that. I mean, I think if you asked 95% of the people here, how do you have this abundant life? How can you live an abundant life? And people would say, it's by following Jesus. It's by letting him lead you. I mean, we all go to JFB. We've heard that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times. But I think all of us here can still easily find ourselves being led by the other things. How often can we find ourselves turning back to the world for satisfaction that we know that we can't have? And we know, I mean, I think most of us here also know that it just leads to destruction. I mean, how many of us here can attest to that? And yet we do it. You know, I used to believe that following Christ would lead to this boring life that I didn't want to live, a miserable, depressing life that really I didn't want anything to do with. I believed that God would limit all the things I could do. I believed that basically I wouldn't be happy, I wouldn't have joy, I probably wouldn't be married, and it would just kind of suck. I didn't believe, you know, everyone knows the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, "Surely, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Well, I didn't believe that. I did not in any way believe that God had good plans for me. But I can tell you that after I started following him, I can say that it's true. I mean, he's led me He's led me some cool places. I joke about not wanting to be up here, and in some ways I don't, but it's an honor to be here. I can't believe that God would let me be up here. It's really amazing. Finding that exact spot that God will lead us to, that exact plan that he has for your life, is the only thing that can lead to real fulfillment, the only thing that's going to lead to abundant life of lasting joy, lasting peace that we so desperately desire. It's the only way. And no, it's not always going to be easy. It won't be easy. He'll lead you, like I said, where you don't want to go. It's going to be painful. Good thing is, he's providing the protection that you need through that pain. And it will always, always be completely worth it. I mean, the Bible is full of examples of men who have been led to places that don't look fun. I mean, Paul's in prison. Stephen gets rocks thrown at him till he dies. It doesn't look fun. But I think if we got the chance to talk to him, I don't think any of them would say they regret it. I think they would say that they lived the abundant life that was full of peace and full of joy because they found exactly where God wanted them. So, recapping our 4 points. Jesus is our good shepherd. He can be our good shepherd if we are one of his sheep. And he is the door. He's the door that we must go through. If we want to get in, if we want salvation, if we want to find the one true way, it is only in going through Jesus. It's only in putting your faith in him and his death on the cross. It's the only way in. Any other way isn't going to work. It's not. You'll fall once you get halfway up the wall, and you'll probably have a broken leg. 2, he is our good shepherd speaking to us. We can hear him, and we can actually talk back. That sounds bad. You don't want to talk back like you do to your parents. But he is our good shepherd who's speaking to us. Remember what I said. He's the creator of the universe, the sustainer of life. He died for us, and he's talking to us. The least we could do is listen. 3, he is the only care and the only protection that we will ever need. And when we trust in that, when we trust in that protection, when we trust in that care that he provides, our lives will be completely changed. We can do some amazing and cool stuff. 4, Jesus is leading us. He's leading us out of our old sinful ways. He's leading us to new righteousness. And really, he's leading us to an abundant life, a life of true joy, a life of true satisfaction, and true peace. All we need to do is follow him. That's it. We just need to follow him. If you jump down to verse 19, and I'll kind of leave you with this. It says, therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So I'll leave you with this. You can have one of two responses to this message. You can think that he's crazy. It says right here, people thought that he was crazy. You can think that there's no way that you can trust Jesus to be our way to salvation, that there's no way that he's speaking to us, that there's no way that we can hear him, that there's no way that he'll really have our back, that there's no way that he'll really protect us, and that we can't trust him, that there's no way that what he's leading us into can be better than what we can lead ourselves into. That's the first response, that he's mad, crazy, and shouldn't be trusted. Or we can have the other response that says, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We can accept it. We can trust that what Jesus said here about himself is true, that we can trust him in all things, that he is the only way for us to go, that he is speaking to us, and that we can listen and should listen, that he'll give us all the protection that we so desperately need, because remember, we're defenseless. All we can do is run away. We need his protection, and that he will lead us into an abundant life. We will find true joy. We will find true peace if we only follow him. So what's your response to that? That's what I leave you with. What's your response to Jesus as our good shepherd? Are you going to trust him or are you not? Because if you do, it will have implications on your life.